Oh, yeah. No, keep it going. Give me some more music. I'm not ready yet.
Friday, my day.
Friday, my day. My day to play. Hey, good evening, True Seekers. Mike Beloy here. It's 7 past the hour. Welcome to Friday. Thanks for tuning in. Glad you could make it. This hour is sponsored by Barrett Gay. Barrett writes, thanks for keeping us lit. All right. Thanks, Barrett. I appreciate the sponsorship very much. I got this stuff. I got this email today from somebody who writes to me all the time. I don't know if he wrote this. I think it's a he, or if somebody else wrote it. But this is some funny stuff. And since we very seldom have intentional humor on this program, that's the truth. Very seldom is it intentional humor. Sometimes it just turns out to be funny as hell. But since we very seldom have intentional humor, I got to share this with you. These are one-liners. Sounds like something Henny Youngman would have done if Henny Youngman were still alive and making the kind of acerbic jokes that he used to make, only this time about the depression that we're in now. But it says, the depression has hit everybody really hard. My neighbor, for example, got a pre-declined credit card in the mail. I think that's funny. Pre-declined. Wives are having sex with their husbands because they can't afford batteries anymore. Shit-a-boom. CEOs are now playing miniature golf. The depression is so bad, ExxonMobil laid off 25 congressmen. A stripper was killed when her audience showered her with rolls of pennies. The recession is so bad, I saw a Mormon with only one wife. If the bank returns your check marked insufficient funds, you call them and ask if they meant you or them. McDonald's is now selling the quarter ouncer. And, yeah, this had to happen. Angelina Jolie adopted a child from America. And I guess you heard a truckload of Americans got caught sneaking into Mexico. Recession is so bad that when Bill and Hillary travel together, they now have to share a room. Shit-a-boom. And the Treasure Island Casino in Las Vegas is now managed by Somali pirates. Congress says they are looking into this Bernard Madoff scandal. Oh, great. The guy who made $50 billion disappear is being investigated by the people who made $1.5 trillion disappear. And finally, I was so depressed last night thinking about the economy, wars, jobs, my savings, Social Security, retirement funds, etc. I called the suicide hotline. I got a call center in Pakistan. And when I told them I was suicidal, they got all excited and asked if I could drive a truck. Oh, Jesus, God. Cherrywoodstudio.com. Is that where this came from? You don't get the Pakistan joke? You are kidding me. When I told them I was suicidal, they got excited and asked if I could drive a truck. 3, 2, 1. Truck bomb? She got it, ladies and gentlemen. She's laughing so hard she's choking on her bagel there. You didn't get it, Kathy? Oh, my God. Okay, that's all right. I like the one, I like this one. Wives are having sex with their husbands because they can't afford batteries anymore. Oh, whoever wrote these, that's real good. I don't know where this came from. Is this Tonight Show? Is this David Letterman? Is this is it Cherrywood Studios? I don't know. JR, when you send me stuff like this, please let me know where you got it. ExxonMobil fired 25 congressmen. Oh, my God. That's funny. All right, what else we got here tonight? Anything? Yeah, we have some stuff here. Tonight is podcast trivia night, so probably at the bottom of the next hour, we will attempt, as we do every Friday, and usually successfully, to give away a one-year subscription to Molloy Show podcast downloads, commercial-free. All you have to do is answer the trivia question correctly, and it's yours, right? I saw this today and thought, oh, no. Well, I didn't think, oh, no. I thought, it begins the parade of liberals saying goodbye to Barack Obama. This is from the Progressive Change Campaign Committee in Chicago. They are upset over potential cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And so they delivered pledges today to Barack Obama's national campaign headquarters in Chicago, threatening to pull their support. About a dozen people delivered what they said were 200,000 pledges from people who will refuse to donate or volunteer for Obama's reelection campaign if he cuts the entitlement programs. I just wish they would stop calling this entitlement. You know, I really do. I understand words work their way into our vocabulary, but Medicare and Social Security we all pay for. And Medicaid, in a sense, we pay for also. Entitlement, you know, I don't like that word. But anyway, a spokesman for the Progressive Change Campaign Committee said, quote, "It's not a question of who they're going to support for president. They're going to vote for Barack Obama. It's a question of where their time and money is going to go," end quote. The guy who delivered, the spokesman for the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, Neil Soroka, said the 200,000 people who signed this petition or these pledges represent more than $17 million in donations to Obama's 2008 campaign and about 2.5 million volunteer hours. Well, Obama's spokesman, Ben LaBolt, I guess in Chicago, said, quote, "Americans elected the president in 2008 to take on the big challenges facing our country, and he's engaged in an effort to do just that," end quote. I just wish, if that is the case, that Mr. Obama would be a little bit more reluctant to throw on the table the remaining strands of the social safety net that has been in effect in this country for 80 years, what's left of it, and would stop. If he's gaming the Republicans, fine. I mean, gaming conservatives or these neo-fascists is one thing. And if, you know, like a lot of people have said, these idiots like Eric Cantor and John Boehner, you know, they're playing checkers up against a man who's playing chess. If that's the case, hip, hip, hooray. But somebody needs to get the word out to Obama's core constituency that he's gaming the Republicans. Now, Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC is trying to do that for the past several nights. He's been offering up a very cogent explanation of what Obama is doing, and it's very interesting to listen to. He's on 8 to 9 Eastern, so I get a chance to watch, you know, at least a half an hour of his program while I'm finishing up show prep, what little bit we do around here. And O'Donnell is hitting that theme pretty hard, that Obama is not serious about this stuff. He's climbing up the rear ends of these Republicans and letting them feel what it, you know, what it feels like to have, you know, a size 12 shoe planted up their ass from all this crazy, ridiculous stuff they're doing to the American public. If that's the case, Lawrence, I say it's real cool.
the jailhouse now.
He's in the jailhouse now.
He's in the jailhouse now.
He's in the jailhouse now.
I told him once or twice to quit playing cards and shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now.
Well, I had a friend 21 past the hour. From Tim, Mike, Kathy, I remember the first time I heard the word entitlements to describe Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and that was from none other than Rush Limbaugh. I used to listen to his program back in the early 90s when I was in college. I was a political science major, and I found that listening to Limbaugh was a pretty good mirror of what the Republicans were really thinking. And that has proved to be correct, no? It has proved to be correct, yes. Thanks for that. That may be where the word came from, entitlements. There's an element of cynicism in the use of that word entitlements, especially when you are talking about Medicaid, as though people, because they don't have enough income to provide themselves or their families with health insurance, with these predatory bastards that run that industry, or they're not old enough to get Medicare, that somehow that vast majority of people in this country who cannot afford health insurance, they still buy it. A lot of people buy it, but, they can't afford it anyway. Something else has to give. That middle group that just can't afford it and therefore doesn't have it, that taking Medicaid in all its various forms is somehow, an entitlement. There's an element to that word, like, I don't know, like the king walking through the muddy village of peasants handing out sacks of grain or something. I just don't like it. I don't like it. This is from Gay in Georgia, or in Oregon. Mike, we are a few of the many voices out there who just want to live and let live. However, my friends, gay and straight, are becoming increasingly sick and tired of listening to these evangelical fear-based freaks talking about praying the gay away. We are going to test their theory and start to pray them gay. What do you say? Let's start a movement and turn their words around on them. Pray them gay. Pray them gay. Oh, and Michelle Bachmann's husband does not need any prayers. We already know that. These phony, filthy pigs. Uh-oh. Are they going to get scared? They're going to turn gay if lots of us are praying for their gayness? Love your show. Warm regards, Gay in Oregon. What's up with Michelle Bachmann's husband? I mean, what a complete zoo. You know, when you look at Michelle Bachmann's husband and Newt Gingrich's wife, I mean, come on, please. This is like wandering around in a cartoon strip. You know, something the Burke Breathed. Was that his name? Remember him? Burke Breathed, who wrote, is that Far Side? No, not the Far Side. What was it? I really miss that guy.
Bloom County.
I really miss his strip. Jesus, I miss. But these characters, I mean, Callista. And a name like Callista, I'm sorry, but that's, if you don't like it, switch to a different station. Yeah, this is an odd womanum attack. But anybody named Callista, who has that big-eyed look? And Newt just standing there, old paunchy Newt, just standing there with that X-ray wife. That's not hair. That's a helmet. You know that's a helmet. She takes that off and puts it by the bedside every night. Gets up in the morning, puts it back on. Not a hair has moved. Nothing. Man, where do these people come from? Oh, well. All right, we also have a correspondent here from our economic affairs dude. that we're going to get to, maybe after this break, and a lot of other craziness here tonight. So stick around. Oh, yeah, California is now going to require gay history to be taught in the schools, in the public schools, gay and lesbian history. Isn't that going to drive certain elements of the American population right out of their crawl spaces, right? What? Oh, my God. They're already teaching maybe not gay history. They're already teaching, excuse me, so much in literature and science and art and music and the applied sciences and mathematics, ideas that were developed by folks who happen to be gay. So, oh, Jesus, I'm gay in Oregon. I am so sick of this. I really am. You know, if I were a praying man, I guess I would start that. Let's pray him gay. Let's pray him gay. That'd be great fun, wouldn't it?
Johnson marked the outline where the boy first dropped. Beware the Holy Trinity, church and state and law. For every death the virus gets more deadly than before. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. So Dan likes you, Kathy. Dan, one of our listeners, sent me an email. He likes it when you chime in. Because he wrote me an email that said, be nice to Kathy. And I wrote back, I said, or? And he wrote back and he said, nothing, just I like it when she chimes in. So you have a fan named Dan.
Thank you, fan named Dan. Mike is nice to me most of the time. When he's not, Molly kicks his butt.
There you go. Email here from Linda. Mike, I know you're not a religious person and don't normally want to hear anything about it. Well, wait. That's not true. No, I'm not a religious person at all. I really am not. But hearing stuff about it, it depends, Linda. I mean, it really does. When I hear somebody talking about spirit without the dogma, you know, I've talked about these avatars, these people that have caused millions, billions of people around the globe to cluster around at least their teachings. And the I was brought up Southern Baptist and Methodist. I've said that before. The Methodists, from my mother, Southern Baptist, from my grandmother. And, being Italian and Irish, that was pretty weird, but that's a whole different story. I was brought up in that faith, though, in that Christian faith. And at the time, it wasn't called fundamentalism, but that's exactly what it was, especially the Baptist part. My grandmother was, by any definition, a fundamentalist. But she was also, as far as I know, without the kind of bigotry, because she had been an object of bigotry because of her appearance. She was dark-skinned and Italian, and like I said, it's a whole different story. But anyway... I'm as well versed in Protestant evangelicalism as anybody you'll ever hear on the radio. I'll guarantee you that. I've said many times on this program, these right wing fundamentalists cannot out Bible me. They just can't. They can't do it. When I was a kid, I had awards from staying at my grandmother's during the summer, and she made me go to Vacation Bible School. And I've got plaques, I don't know where they are, but from when I was a kid, from memorizing, 17,864,000 Bible verses. So it's not that I don't want to hear anything about religion, Linda. I guess I come across that way because I get so pissed off, so enraged at the people who so dominate Christianity now and call themselves Christians. And I just go back to some very simple teachings. I mentioned the other night about the Sermon on the Mount. How many of these rat bastards who call themselves Christian preachers or these televangelists, these crybaby thug con artists, I mean, how many of those people really believe? Oh, I digress. Let me get back here. Linda wrote, I know you're not a religious person and don't normally want to hear anything about it. However, all of the debt-ceiling games these Republicans are playing really irks me. I'd like to know how these cockroaches explain how one can be of a conservative philosophy that says pick yourself up by your bootstraps, yet call themselves Christian. They feel no goodwill toward anyone and see none but the privileged and serve none but the privileged. If you're Christian, doesn't that imply that you're a follower of Christ and followed the teaching? What about Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, which talks about taking care of the least among you? How do you throw the elderly, the poor, the disabled under the bus? Sounds like that's exactly what they are prepared to do. If you're a conservative, how can you be a Christian? They are polar opposites in philosophy. Isn't that an oxymoron? You can't possibly be both. You can't mesh the two. It makes no sense. You can be one or the other, but not both. It doesn't work. That's like being bipolar. Maybe that's the answer. We put all Republicans on lithium. They finally become sane and rational and actually start behaving like decent, good people. Linda. I don't know, Linda. I have no idea. I just know that it thoroughly irritates me to hear. Who's that crazy bastard named Hagee? That one that we played the soundbite one time where he's screaming during one of his sermons that people who don't have food should starve. Remember that, Kathy? Starve. Starve. That's exact 180 degrees from what the person who Hagee claims is his personal savior actually said. But this is not Wednesday night. We do church on Wednesday night. Because that's how I was brought up. You do church on Wednesday night and Sunday. So I got to get a little bit into this Rupert Murdoch thing. Rebecca Brooks, the CEO of Murdoch's newspaper operation, resigned. Les Hinton, the chairman of Dow Jones, resigned, both of them today. You know how that happened? You know what happened? The Arab prince, who is the largest non-family shareholder, what's his name? Wait a minute, let me find it here. Awalid bin Talal bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud. That one. As reported by the Times, Brooks' resignation came less than 12 hours after the broadcast of a BBC interview with News Corporation's second largest investor, the billionaire Saudi prince, who said that if Ms. Brooks had known of the misconduct at the News of the World, quote, "You bet she has to go," end quote. And Prince Awalid added, quote, "Ethics to me are very important. I will not deal with a lady or a man that has any sliver of doubt on her or his integrity," end quote. Really? Is that true, Prince Awalid, Your Highness? Is that the truth, that you are a man of integrity and ethics are very important to you? If that is the case, then why are Saudi women treated like very privileged pet dogs are treated in this country. Is that your religion? Is that what is that? And I could go on and on, but I'm not going to. The point I'm trying to make here is that when the Saudi prince speaks, Rupert Murdoch gets on the blower and says to these two people, "You gotta get your asses out of here right now. That's the end of it now. You're gone. Goodbye." Isn't that amazing? Money talks, bull, you know what, walks. So, the reason Hinton, the chairman of Dow Jones, think about that for a second, they're the publishers of Wall Street Journal. The reason he resigned is because he ran News International, the British publishing subsidiary, from 1997 to 2005, during the time when the phone hacking took place. He didn't run News of the World, he ran News International, which is like a News Corp here in the U.S. So Les Hinton is in it up to his eyeballs. Now, let me ask you something, Truth Seeker, regarding the investigations that may or may not be going on even as we speak into this filthy fascist bastards American operation. What do you think the odds are that if Les Hinton was involved for 7 or 8 years in this phone hacking scandal in the UK, and it's more than phone hacking. Come on, this is criminal activity. This is the kind of stuff that in the UK you go to prison for. Prison. This is you go to prison for it. If he was involved in authorizing it or even ordering it, what are the chances then, Truth Seeker, that such a thing has or has not happened in the United States with News Corp here? What you think, huh? The rumors that are starting to circulate now, and they're more than rumors, about hacking into the phones of the families of the 9/11 victims in New York or the Pentagon. If this son of a bitch does this in the UK, if he orders it in the UK and then comes to the US to run Dow Jones, which is the Wall Street Journal and has influence over the Murdoch's other newspapers in this country, what do you think? Do you think that Les Hinton brought to the United States the same kinds of tactics that he used in the UK? Or when he crossed over and came to the US, all of a sudden he decided to go straight, so to speak. What do you think? I know what I think. Son of a bitch. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I'm starting to get, you know, have that. I said the other night, that kind of anticipatory rush you get right before you sit in the back of your pickup with a .22 and start plinking off rats at the family or at the local, the city dump. You know what I'm saying? That always was fun to me. I didn't give a damn about the rats because they spread disease. So I'm starting to get that same feeling.
And on the prairie or in the city, I'll help him round up all the strays.
Truth Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. So a little bit more on this. Les Hinton, the chairman of Dow Jones, according to New York Times, Hinton said repeatedly that he was unaware. They're always unaware. Who knows about this stuff? You know, who knows about this? Rebecca Brooks, unaware. Les Hinton, unaware. James Murdoch, unaware. Rupert Murdoch, unaware. Who's aware? Anybody aware? Can I see some hands? Anybody aware? No? Okay. Hinton. Les Hinton said repeatedly he was unaware the people working for the News of the World were illegally accessing private voicemail messages. In his resignation letter to Rupert Murdoch, Hinton acknowledged that he ultimately bore responsibility for the company. Yeah, they always say that, right? They always say that. Well, responsibility is mine. Okay. Then Hinton did the right thing. But he only did the right thing because he got caught. If he really wanted to do the right thing, he never would have accepted the chairmanship of the Dow Jones Company. See, they always do the right thing. Well, not always. Sometimes they do the right thing when they finally have their testicles laid out on an anvil and there's a great big hammer coming down. Then all of a sudden, oh, wait, stop. I want to do the right thing. Here, let me get those off of there. I resign. Uh-oh. Well, then. So he, in his resignation letter to Mr. Murdoch, and I don't know how the Times got this, and I really don't care, but he said that I was ignorant of what apparently happened is irrelevant. And in the circumstances, I feel it is proper for me to resign from News Corp and apologize to those hurt by the actions of the News of the World. He went on, when I left News International December 2007, I believe that the rotten element at the News of the World had been eliminated. The rotten element? There was a rotten element? Really? That important lessons had been learned and that journalistic integrity was restored. Restored? Restored implies it was there at one time. Oh, you mean before Murdoch. Oh, okay. All right. Blah, blah, blah. Hinton came to the U.S. at the end of 2007. Murdoch brought him over from Britain shortly after he purchased Dow Jones, after Murdoch named him chief executive of the company and publisher of the Wall Street Journal. Hinton ran News International, blah, 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 blah. But the part that's so interesting to me is that Brooks, what's her name? What's her first name? Rebecca? Is it Rebecca? Yeah, Rebecca Brooks. Her resignation came less than 12 hours after the billionaire Saudi prince, News Corp's second largest investor, said, you bet she has to go. Ooh! Yes, sir, Mr. Prince! I am out of here! Goodbye! And then there was this huge sucking sound caused by the air rushing into the vacuum where, caused by Rebecca Brooks' rapid exit. Zoom! Ethics, to me, are very important, Prince Awali bin Talal bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud said, I will not deal with a lady or a man that has any sliver of doubt on her or his integrity. How do you deal then, Prince, with the profits that you make as a result of the brain dead people in this country listening to the lies of Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and the once and future Glenn Beck? Prince, how do you handle that? You got to understand something, Prince. Rebecca and Les got caught with their drawers down, and it was brought to your attention because all of a sudden it's a global story because they got caught, not because of the crime, but because they got caught. And you, Prince, you live in a society that is certainly known for its what's the opposite of mercy? I mean, you still order people stoned to death and their hands cut off, and children, 13 and 14-year-old girls who might have broken your crazy laws and your religious nonsense, and they are stoned to death or beheaded, and you have the temerity to sit there on your $40 million yacht and talk about you're a man of integrity. No, you're not. You're not a man of integrity at all. You're like any other global capitalist. You don't give a goddamn what happens until your people get caught. And then all of a sudden, you make statements that cause the caused the CEO to make a couple of phone calls and say, well, guess what? Well, Prince is all pissed off now. God damn it. What the two of you do? You're out of here. Get out. So please, Prince, I mean, if you're angry because the stock price of News Corp has fallen dramatically, if you're concerned about your multi-million dollar investment in the company, that's one thing. But please spare us this holier-than-thou attitude you have about your sense of ethics. Are you kidding me? You got a sense of ethics? You can start by telling the women of Saudi Arabia that they can drive their own cars now. Get out of my radio program. We'll be back after the break. Stick around. Two soundtracks going at the same time. Well, it's Friday night. You know, it's Friday night. Got an email here from Kathy. Hey, easy on the name Callista. My extremely intelligent, fiercely liberal 28-year-old daughter is named Callista, and I named her that. We really hate it that the name has surfaced on the neocon side of things as the wife of a newt, no less. It's okay, Mike, though. We still love you. From Kathy and the smart Callista. Yeah, I was regretting that as soon as I said it, Kathy. Callista it's Greek. I know it's Greek. What does it mean? I think it means beautiful, doesn't it? I think it does. I'm going to mention this again because I think I only mentioned it once. The hour, we're going to give this hour to Barrett Gay also. I got so caught up in what I was saying there. Barrett Gay was the sponsor of the first hour. We're going to make him the sponsor of the second hour too. And his message, thanks for keeping us lit. I love that. All right, Barrett. This hour is sponsored by Barrett Gay. Thank you, thank you. California is now, it becomes the first state in the union to require public schools to teach gay and lesbian history. You know, what a great idea. I think part of the reason for this, Jerry Brown signed the bill yesterday that mandates that the contributions of gays and lesbians in the state and the country be included in social science instruction and in textbooks. Yay! And the reason, one of the reasons I think Jerry Brown did it, first of all, it's the right thing to do, to discriminate against people because of who they are. Didn't we? We went through all that. We've gone through that on the race basis. We are in the middle of it on an economic equality issue basis. You know, if you don't have a lot of money, somehow you're a subhuman. We've gone through all that on religious levels. So many Christians and Jews, for the maybe Muslims too, I don't know, teach that anyone who is not a subscriber to their particular brand of religion is somehow inferior. You know how it goes. So, now it's a gender identification issue. You know, I wonder if non-gay Americans, if they have any idea, if they could wave their little magic wands and make everything gay or related to gay men and women in this country and in our history or in global history, if they could wave a wand, so to speak, and make it all go away, any contribution homosexuals may have made in science, math, literature, the arts, research, music, you know, whatever, warfare. Like Philip of Macedonia and his son Alexander. What about them? But if they could wave the magic wand, everything gay, pertaining to gay, connected to gay, blah, 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 gay, blah, 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 would disappear. Do you know the goddamn planet would probably shift out of its orbit? You morons, you right-wing morons, you homophobic morons, do you not, you piss me off so badly. I wonder if at some point in the future of the human race, if there is a future to the human race, long after I'm dust, but I just wonder if there ever come a time when this nonsense is no longer a part of any kind of discussion. Jesus. Anyway, the bill is being called, or the law now, or a bill, I guess, bill, law, whatever. School districts will have until next January to begin implementing this new law. It was also promoted, I started to say this, in part as a way to combat bullying of gay and lesbian students. It's been called a step forward. I'm hopeful other states will follow, said Mark Leno, California's first openly gay state senator who sponsored the bill. We are failing our students, he says, when we don't teach them about the broad diversity of human experience. Really. It's the truth. The legislature passed a similar bill in 2006, but Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was in the governor, vetoed it. I don't know. What did his mistress say to him? Oh, Governor, you don't want no. You don't want no gays. It's against my church. Really? Can you imagine Schwarzenegger? You know, he's committing adultery. You know, hey Arnold, that's, you know, your Bible tells you not to do that. What's Schwarzenegger? What is he? A Lutheran or something? I don't know. Catholic? I have no idea. I guess he's Catholic. But you know, there's Arnold having a child with someone and not his spouse, which, you know, it doesn't matter a damn to me. A child is a child is a child. But the craziness in this country would label that child with all kinds of nasty labels. But here's Arnold boinking someone other than his wife while he's vetoing a law that would say, you know, let our school children know the contributions made by gay folks. It's just astonishing. I mean, all of it is astonishing, right? Some conservative lawmakers continue to oppose this, saying that A school's curriculum should be left to individual school districts. Oh, yeah, right. When it's this issue, huh? What about... Oh, you phony bastards. Tim Donnelly, a Republican state assemblyman from the San Bernardino, said, quote, "It's a sad day for our republic when we have the government essentially telling people what they should think." End quote. See how, and Republicans do this on any issue, every issue, completely distort it, completely. You know, nobody is saying anything of the sort, telling people what they should think. You stupid bastard. That's the whole idea of education, to allow people to make their own decisions what to think. But if you don't have all the information, how in the hell are you going to make a decision? You creepy right-wing bastard. I hate you people, too. Just thoroughly, completely. Your bigotry, your celebration of ignorance.
The government telling people what they should think. No, no, no. We can't have that.
Really? But aren't you people so intent on having religion taught in the public schools? Aren't you the ones that walk around screaming your asses off about how God was banished from the public schools with the Supreme Court ruling that said no public prayer led by agents of the government? You hypocritical little snot. Let's do a break, Kathy. God. And then we'll come back and chat some more. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. This hour is sponsored by Barrett Gay, who says, thanks for keeping us lit. Thank you, Barrett.
Hey, talk about some ways you can support the show.
Prairie 2 talks about, the Saudi prince, Al-Waleed. Without the Saudi prince, Prairie 2 writes, Rupert Murdoch doesn't have controlling interest. The minority stockholders have been polishing their anvil for years, hoping to invite Rupert over for a party. Oh, I didn't know that. Really? So it's Rupert and the Saudi prince. And... Michael and Roswell, Prince Al-Waleed is also the investor that has bailed out Citigroup a couple of times. Says everything we need to know about his sense of ethics. And from Jeanette, from your blog, quote, she writes, and the Murdoch empire might be about to topple as the FBI launches an investigation into its illegal wiretapping of 9/11 victims' families, among other questionable practices, end quote. Okay, Jeanette writes, the FBI is investigating someone for illegal wiretapping. She writes, I should have been a different species. My first choice would be dog. The older I get, the more insane the human world seems. I have been able to succeed in it, and I'm getting to the point where I don't even want to. By the way, I just noticed Murdoch starts with Murd. Jeanette. Yeah, it is kind of funny when you stop and think about it. The FBI is investigating somebody for illegal wiretapping. Ooh. Jesus, God. And there's a P.S. on Prairie Twos regarding entitlement. Well, unfortunately, when said with a sneer, it can be made to seem elitist. The word entitlement is perfectly descriptive, as an entitlement is awarded by class and doesn't require an individual to meet any other qualification. The word is often used to refer to the rights and privileges granted by the state to professionals and corporations for the same reason. Originally, Social Security and the like were referred to as insurance, as in the Federal Insurance Contributions Act, or FICA, circa 1935. Republicans likely introduced the word entitlement to apply to social programs as it had originally applied to them and their corporations to muddy the water so they would feel at home. Yeah, Social Security is an insurance program. It is not an entitlement, and people pay into it. We'll call it entitlement. It's just the way that they do it, right? Obama has been called a lot of things by these right-wing cockroaches, hasn't he? And now they're referring to him this way. Republicans are now saying that Obama is bluffing about the impacts of a debt default and holding American troops and the elderly as, are you ready, human shields in the deadlock over raising the debt limit. Human shields. These son of a bitches, they really do reach into the bottom of the barrel to come up with these phrases. Human shields. Isn't that a term that goes all the way back to the bombing, the first bombing of Iraq? Human shields. So they've tried everything, every single creepy goddamn phrase they can come up with to hang on Obama. Why don't you rat bastards just come out and use the N-word? You know you want to. You want to say it so bad it makes your asses ache. You know you do. You say it to each other in your little smarmy screwball emails back and forth. Why don't you just come out and call him the N-word? He wants to use the elderly and soldiers as human shields. You scum suckers, I would just love once to have one of these right-wing members of Congress within spitting distance. I swear to God. And I'd love to provoke him into some kind of action against me so that I could respond with a quick, sharp punch right in the face. These people just are disgusting. Obama is a lot of things, you halfwits, but he is not using troops and old people as human shields. You disgusting people. Yeah, I mean, have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these bastards? I think I have, but if I haven't, consider that notification. We're going to open the lines now and do podcast trivia when we come back. 877-996-2556. Come on, let's play.
Could spot a friend.
once again for podcast trivia on the Malloy program. All I have to do is come up with the right answer to our trivia question. Win a 1-year subscription. Malloy Show podcast downloads commercial free in your email every morning. And if we happen to have a power failure and nothing happens the night before, well, we'll send you something. Just get the right answer. That's all you have to do. Who do we have? Our first contestant is Brett in Akron, Ohio. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Have you tried this before?
You know what? I have not, but I've heard you do it before, though.
Okay. All right. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Here is your question. President Obama, excuse me, got a little loud there. President Obama and the American Fascist Party, also known as the Republicans, still have not reached an agreement on raising the debt ceiling. However, Congressman Eric Cantor says he will agree to a settlement if Obama will do which of the following? A, agree to eliminate all taxes on anyone who makes more than $300,000 a year. B, cancel Medicare and replace it with a coupon book that offers various discounts for medical procedures like 20% off for an appendectomy, 30% off for a coronary bypass, and so forth. C, resign immediately and admit he was born in Kenya and is a closet Muslim fundamentalist. Or D, none of the above, because Eric Cantor actually believes he's still in high school and can't figure out why people call him the House Majority Leader.
Oh, boy.
Your answer.
This is a tough one. Let's go none of the above.
D. All right. That's it. All right, Brett. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Honest to God, it was. But anyway, you got it right. All right, Brett, I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
And thanks so much.
You bet. Kathy will get the pertinent information. And thanks for playing. Troy is in Sandy, Oregon, listening on KPOJ. Hello, Troy.
Hi, Mike. I like listening to your show.
Well, I'm glad you do. Thanks for tuning in. What's up?
I got a weasel of the week for you.
Weasel of the week. How can you narrow it down to one?
Eric Cantor, from the question you gave the last caller.
Yeah, well, Eric Cantor, I don't get this guy. He is no more qualified to be the House Majority Leader than he's qualified to be a journeyman plumber. You know, he's a phony. He's a fake.
I don't think anybody will ever get to know where he's coming from.
I don't think so.
Or Sarah Palin.
Right. You know, they kind of look alike, don't they?
Yeah, you betcha.
You betcha. All right, Troy, I accept Eric Cantor's Weasel of the Week. That's a good one. Thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. Obama using human shields. Something called a Trent Franks. He's a Republican from Arizona, representative. He said, quote, I truly believe that this president is completely out of touch with reality when it comes to the grave circumstances that we face in our economy. I am convinced that he is willing to use our senior citizens and our soldiers as human shields, as it were, to continue this spending binge that could ultimately destroy our country, end quote. This is the part that makes me want to start smashing things and get myself arrested. Again, really, when some half-witted Republican like this, who doesn't have the sense Mother Nature gave a sack full of pine cones, when he stands there and makes a statement like that, Obama understands the circumstances that we face in this economy. He's just not doing the right thing to correct it. All he has to do is cut the war and death budget by 50%. Just do that for 5 years, problem solved. But for this little freak bastard, this Trent Franks, to say that Obama doesn't understand the grave circumstances in this economy. You little scum sucker, it was your party, your people, your president who put us there. And how many bobbleheads out there in this crazy bastard's district back in Arizona going, yeah, that's right, Frank. Yeah, or Trent. That's right, Trent. You tell him, Trent. It's that Obama. It's that nit. Whoops. You almost said it, Trent. You almost said it. Joe Wilson, Republican of South Carolina, went, you lie! Remember that half-witted freak? He says, as he stated himself, referring to Obama, he's bluffing. He told Eric Cantor, don't call my bluff. The president is admitting he's bluffing. And it's not right. His bluffing consists of threatening senior citizens, threatening disabled veterans. You slimy cockroach, you. Why don't you call his bluff? Why don't you go ahead and agree to what the president of the United States... Oh, that's right, you're from South Carolina. Never mind. Lost my head there for a second. Human shields. Now, I realize that somebody like Obama just laughs this off. And there is a racial element in here, too, on both sides. One justified, the other just based in bigotry. You know, you get these members of Congress from certain states, like this one, whose initials are South Carolina. But you get a representative from South Carolina. And just by definition, that white male is going to be a racist. Don't look at me like, oh, you're condemning a whole group of people. You're goddamn right I am. Absolutely. Now, I happen to know a couple of white males that live in South Carolina, and they are not. And they would excuse me for the blanket indictment. But let me just put a little bit finer edge on it. Anybody who is elected to public office in the Republican Party in South Carolina is a full-blown, flat-out, shave-head racist. There is no argument to that. None whatsoever. And all they want to do is scream the N-word at this guy and go get some torches and put their sheets on and try to scare him out of the White House. That's all they want to do. But they can't. So they come up with all this crazy hog snot about, oh, well, he's not a citizen. Well, he wasn't born here. Well, he's a Muslim. Now he's using human shields. Oh, by the way, this hour is sponsored by Jim Taleb. I'm sorry. Jim Taleb. Sorry. Jim, thank you. Jim Taleb is sponsoring this hour. Human shields. What are they going to come up with next? Maybe something about Barack Obama is really got, he's kidnapped 80 or 90 white children and holds them in the basement of the White House to use in blood sacrifice. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's what they accused the Jews of doing. Never mind. They can't use that one on him. That's reserved for the Jews. That's what these white Southern Republicans. You know, this is what really, I mean, it blows my mind. It's another one of those things that blows my mind. Why the state of Israel? I guess the Israelis will take help from anybody. They would take help. The Likudniks would take help from Satan himself if they could get it. So they get the next closest thing to Satan, and those are American evangelical preachers, like this Hagee or Glenn Beck went over there. He went to Israel and addressed the Israeli Knesset. Are you kidding me? No, he really did. One of the Likudnik freaks. I mean, what do they think when they look at Glenn Beck? I mean, Glenn Beck is a Mormon convert, and oh God, to Glenn Beck's religion, even the Jews are called Gentiles. I mean, this is insanity. So Glenn Beck gives an address to the Israeli Knesset. I wonder how many members of the Knesset were present. But don't those people realize, those Israeli parliamentarians, that when the great getting up morning comes, right? And when this corrupted Jesus that these freaks believe in comes sliding down this huge mountain of corpses, the Glenn Beck will be leading the charge with the long knives, demanding that the Jews accept Jesus as their personal savior, or to the blade. Don't they understand? I guess they do. I don't know. That's an alliance that I just can't figure out. American evangelical Christians and fundamentalist Likudnik Jews in Israel. That one is so far beyond me. When I think about it, I get dizzy.
Hey, truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Jim Taleb. Thank you, Jim. No message, just a sponsorship. We're going to do Prairie 2's missive next hour. Let's take a few more calls here real quick. You want to do that? Okay. Sanchez in East L.A., ¿cómo está?
From the land of the hyperinflated apartment rentals, I wish you a very good evening, senor. I'm telling you, man, it's murder out there.
Hyperinflated. Well, you know what's happening to the rental markets all around the country. Nobody wants to buy a house anymore. You pay $200,000 for a house today. Next week is worth $170,000, and that's worth $150,000, and you're stuck with a no. So everybody's renting. You know what that's doing to the rental market?
I do exactly, man. I looked for 3 hours today, and there was nothing within my price range.
I'll tell you something. In Atlanta, houses that rented a year and a half ago for $1,200, you can't touch them now for under $1,600. And not only that, but if you want to rent a house like that, first and last month, plus a damage deposit of $500, so you're looking at, $4,000 to move in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, you have to win the lotto in order to move out of anywhere.
And then if the person you're renting from defaults on his or her mortgage, then your ass is on the street and you have nothing.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Hey, this is a great country or what?
I'm telling you, man.
But anyway, that's not why you called.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to, first of all, I was trying to refrain from calling in, but I wanted to recognize one person the very same way. I believe her name was Loretta. Remember you were talking about, she called in Highway 70 and 71.
Oh, yeah. She stands out there with the anti-war thing, yeah.
Yes. I mean, there's somebody like that, and I would like to recognize her right now. Her name is Pat Alviso. She runs the Military Family Speak Out. It's an organization down in Long Beach in Orange County. And she's always out there, bless her heart, and along with Cindy Sheehan's sister, Dee Dee Miller. And they had over the July 4th weekend. You were asking, what did people do? Well, instead of going to a weenie roast and doing that, she was on the Huntington Beach Pier doing what was called a die-in. And they had all kinds of, so many soldiers died in Iraq, and they're telling about the cost of the wars and all that. But they really made a difference, especially when one of the ex-Iraq vets was playing taps. And you can see some very lovely girls in bikinis standing around, and they're just being very pensive. So there are people doing these things. I mean,
Wait a minute. Girls in bikinis looking at people involved in a die-in?
Yes, it's a kind of a weird, just juxtaposition of images.
Yeah,
you can just see it for yourself.
Do the girls in bikinis understand what is represented with?
I think if you study them carefully enough, I think that they were thinking about that when they saw the soldier playing taps. I mean, these are the things that I'm trying to say, is that there are people out here like myself. If I can just tell you what I was doing, along with Stephen, we both got together with the South Pasadena Neighbors for Peace on the 4th of July morning, and we marched in a parade along with members from the Whittier area Peace and Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did was some brilliant political theater. First of all, one of the members was dressed as a corporate fat cat with like huge sofa cushions underneath his shirt, just to represent that he was a corporate fat cat wearing like Xeroxed $100 bills on his coat. Now, he's holding on to a yellow chain, and at the other end of the yellow chain are two downtrodden-looking middle-class workers with their children being dragged behind them. They're trying to move ahead. They're trying to go for the finish line. And we had two other members carrying the finish line, but they could never make it because they're being held back by the corporate fat cat. And then another girl is there with a little cart with the OJs, money, 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 money. So the rest of us are all dancing around with our signs saying freedom from wars and the cost of the wars and all these different signs. And as we went down the street in the South Pasadena parade on the 4th of July, you could tell, man, people were receiving us quite excitedly. It was like, yeah, they got the message, man. So at any rate, I do want to send a shout-out to them because they do this work all the time. They never get recognized. And, you know, bless their hearts for doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's a shame they're not joined by about 50,000 people from L.A., you know, every time they do this. But that's the problem. That's what we're facing, is trying to get massive numbers of people who will, as Chris Hedges is calling for now, participate in direct action, civil disobedience. Nobody's listening. Nobody's paying any attention. You witness and call this program, and you tell the people who listen to this program about a certain incident that occurred on the beach and
actually on the pier.
The pier, and
yeah,
you know, an X number of people saw it. But, you know, like I said, you put 50,000 people out there, and all of a sudden Southern California would wake up a little bit. If we could just get 500 people on the streets in Atlanta, never mind what am I talking about?
Yeah.
I'm smoking too much dope.
To
believe that 500 people in Atlanta would show up. Oh, my God. Oh, well.
Well, that's up to your local activists there.
And no,
but
I don't smoke. I don't smoke reefer anymore. I really don't. And there's only one reason, because it just irritates the hell out of my throat. That's all.
Mm. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what, man? As far as this wiretapping and the hacking scandal is concerned, after I heard about Les Hinton,
mm-hmm,
the chief executive of Dow Jones, and Dow Jones, and he's also running News Corp, I'm getting this weird spidey sense vibe that we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg.
But sure,
as this scandal is concerned.
Oh my God. We're supposed to believe that this twit didn't bring all these illegal activities across the ocean with
mm-hmm
him when he took over here.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that the Justice Department, under this other coward, Eric Holder, who will use the resources of the Justice Department to arrest and wiretap and investigate activists in Chicago and in Milwaukee. But where it comes to real thugs and criminals, all of a sudden, you know, all you get is the sound of crickets. Hey, Sanchez, I got to leave it there, all right?
Okay, man.
All right, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Have a good weekend. We'll be back. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program. Last night, we had a caller named Laura. Do you remember her? She called in about this peace pentagon in Southern Virginia, Independence, Virginia. And I should have known about that, but I didn't. And so I've got in front of me a Washington Post article from about a week ago. Excuse me. And I want to share this with you. In the Post article, it says, in a clearing on a hill along a curve of the New River, where apple trees bloom, Laura George wants to build a place for people of all faiths to gather in spiritual harmony. Okay, you know right away with that first sentence what Laura George is running into in Virginia, where people of all faiths gather in spiritual harmony. Excuse me for being a cynic, but that doesn't happen on planet Earth. But bless Laura George for trying to initiate it. Anyway, the article in the Washington Post, the next line, just one problem. Most people around here don't seem to want any part of it. Many of them just wish she'd spiritual journey herself on out of their town. Why, of course. Of course. Spiritual journey? Come on. Americans have religion, not spirituality. Spirituality is like, wow, man, that's so new agey. What is that about smoking dope? Oh, God. Listen to this from the Washington Post. Last year, prayer groups sprang up to stop her. Please, God, keep this woman out of here. Keep the spiritual harmony away from us. We like spiritual discord. We don't want spiritual harmony. We want to go out and kill some Jews or maybe some Muslims. So I don't know. Maybe those Presbyterians down the street. They look pretty bad, too. Please keep this woman out of here. Prayer groups. Prayer groups sprang up to stop her after the County Planning Commission unanimously approved her proposal for an interfaith retreat with a so-called peace pentagon. Pentagon? Is that like a pentagraph? On your knees and pray. Spiritual Education Center, public library, and 10 cabins for guests. People want to go to a spiritual retreat. We have a couple in the North Georgia Mountains. And they're, you know, they're, you can get from them whatever you want to get. You can be agnostic. You can be atheist. You can be a certain type of believer. You can be on a spiritual path or a spiritual quest. And these places in the North Georgia Mountains, which I'm sure are very similar in nature to what Laura George would like to do in Southern Virginia, the point is to get people out of the madness voluntarily, you know, to get away, to contemplate whatever part of your own existence you want to contemplate, whether it is your spiritual quest, your, it doesn't make any difference. That's what it's about. But that is so threatening to people who believe in religion. Religion. I mean, when you say it, it's a very rigid word. It is not permeable like spiritual. Say it. Say it. Go ahead. Spiritual. Now say religion. You don't have to do it the way I'm doing it. Just do it. Religion. Spiritual. Right? Anyway, I rest my case. So anyway, after pastors and others spoke at this hearing, many warning that it was anti-Christian, a cult, and a threat to the community. The County Planning Commission killed the project. A cult, anti-Christian. Everything is anti-Christian. As Christianity is currently defined by its most vocal and obnoxious adherents, everything Equality before the law. That's anti-Christian because that means, oh, gay people can get married. Oh, God. The proper distribution of tax obligations to render under Caesar that which is Caesar's. Ah! Ah! Oh, that's anti-Christian. Saving the planet. Anti-Christian! Saving species. Anti-Christian! Saving the environment. Anti-Christian! All of it is. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed it? Please tell me you've noticed it. This summer, Laura George's attorney will argue in that courtroom that this is a case of religious discrimination. John Whitehead, and this was a part that threw me for a loop, John Whitehead and the Rutherford Institute, I think they were the ones that were backing, what was their name, Kathy, Paula Jones? I think it was the Rutherford Institute, in a very cynical move, declaring themselves in favor of, or on the side of, what were they on the side of? Women's rights before the law or what have you. As it turns out, who knows what Paula Jones and Bill Clinton did? But I found it very cynical, 15 years ago. Was it 15? Oh my God. 15 years ago, or 14 years ago when all this occurred with Paula Jones and Bill Clinton and the Rutherford Institute. I think it was the Paula Jones case. But anyway. John Whitehead, president of the Rutherford Institute, a Virginia-based civil liberties group that is helping Laura George, said that it's clearly a violation of the First Amendment, which it is. He said, and this is where I'm getting confused, it's hard to tell the players without a scorecard anymore. John Whitehead said, quote, there's just a lot of hate out there. The fear that someone like this coming into the county with 10 cabins on the water is going to do something dramatic to the community. This is part of the religious wars we're seeing, no doubt about that, end quote. You know, when you read a statement like that from John Whitehead, president of the Rutherford Institute, then I've got to rely on either Prairie 2 or Michael and Roswell or Irish Dave to immediately give me background on the Rutherford Institute and John Whitehead so I can raise my suspicion level again. Because when I hear somebody speaking out in favor of civil liberties, I just kind of get all weak in the knees and need to sit down and think, oh, gee, there's somebody who believes in justice. Whitehead compared the situation to recent events such as the Florida pastor burning a Quran and meetings in Virginia warning about Muslims trying to spread Sharia law in Virginia. Oh, they're coming. The Russians are coming. Oh, no, there's not Russians anymore. Wake up, man. It's a different century. Oh, the Muslims are coming. The Muslims are coming. And Jim Gyn, Gwyn, G-Y-N-N, Gyn, the attorney for this county, Grayson County, said, nah, we don't discriminate at all, much less on the basis of religion. He goes on to say, besides, it's not clear to me that it is a religion. Mrs. George has always defined it as an educational center. Oh, yeah? Okay, well. Mr. Jim Gwyn, the attorney for Grayson County, said that speakers also raised concerns about zoning and property values at a public hearing, and those were what the board voted on. Laura George said that she might have events like weddings occasionally, but planned to have only 20 parking spaces. And the county attorney said, well, you know, if people park along the road, it'd be difficult to get an ambulance or fire truck in. So the board voted to deny the project on health, safety, and welfare grounds. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, more on this when we come back.
I want to live in a country that's safe, in a land that's clean and free, for every color and culture, every person, every belief. Around. I'm gonna use the power I have. I'm gonna vote you
right out of that house, 'cause I am a patriot.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's More Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. I'm talking a little bit here about Laura George, who called this program the other night. And mentioned the Oracle Institute and the Peace Pentagon and this retreat that she wants to establish near Independence, Virginia, and the resistance she's getting from religion, the religious people who cannot stand something like a ambiguous phrase like spiritual journey or spiritual retreat that could mean anything. Spiritual harmony is especially dangerous. Whether or not the board in Grayson, Virginia, who voted no, whether or not it was based on zoning concerns or just their parochial kind of contempt and fear of anything containing the word spiritual, nobody will ever really know. But as the article in the Washington Post says, one thing is certain. The surrounding community did not welcome Laura George's idea. They quote somebody, Rhonda James, from a little town called Mouth of Wilson. That's the name of the town. I'm sorry. Mouth of Wilson, Virginia. Rhonda said, I'm glad it didn't come. She added that everyone she knows opposed the Oracle Institute because it seems to question the word of God in the Bible. Rhonda James said, I'm a Christian, a fundamentalist Christian, and so are most people in this area. Now, this little area of Grayson, is that a county? Or I guess it's the county, Grayson County. Is that right? Yeah, it's a county. According to the Washington Post, it has about 150 churches, or about one for every 100 people. It borders North Carolina and Tennessee, as well as West Virginia, Northern Virginia. This river, the New River, which, by the way, is the oldest one in the Western Hemisphere, apparently. It winds through the Appalachian Mountains. There are tent revivals. After Easter, the Subway sandwich shop sign in town always proclaims, He is risen. Celebrate at the church of your choice. I don't know. Most of the churches are Baptist and Methodist. Some are Pentecostal. There are no synagogues, no mosques. One Muslim family worships secretly in the basement. Oh, God. Oh, no. This is just bizarre. This is bizarre. Laura George says, I don't mean what Laura George is doing. I mean just the whole story. Laura George says she chose Independence, Virginia, in part for its name, in part because she fell in love with the setting, and in part because she wanted to bring her interfaith message to a fundamentalist Christian area. She said, quote, I really think this is an area that needs to be exposed to some alternative belief systems, end quote. She added, I didn't think it would be this tough. She is a lawyer, by the way, among other things. She is an honors graduate from, you can go to her website and find out. But she was a lawyer in Leesburg, Virginia, when the September 11th attacks occurred. She said they shook her up. I saw what was coming. What is here now is what we call a great cusp, a period of turmoil, which precedes a major paradigm shift. Now, when you read that, Truth Seeker, you probably think, oh, wait a minute. This is some of that New Age stuff, right? I guess you can use any term you want to use. It sure beats the hell out of listening to fundamentalist preachers. I've heard both. And again, I will take spiritual any day over religion. I used to do that, but that's a whole different story. What else here? She said she began planning the Peace Pentagon. She said it would fit into a clearing by her home in Independence, where she moved last year with her son, when her son finished high school. 10 cabins for visitors and classes. Meditation, hiking, and kayaking would be available. She said, quote, our dream is to have ministers from all five of the primary religions here on alternating weeks. She said people need to draw from each religion. She said, quote, each one brought us a piece of the puzzle. Now, back to the Washington Post, some people said she was lying, that her talk about Thomas Jefferson and religious freedom was a cover for something ominous. Why, of course. Of course. Many had questions about a future project George described on a website. She wants to create something called a Valley of Light in the 320 miles of the New River Valley. A self-sustaining community preparing for turbulent times of terrorism, food and water shortages, and global warming. The sheriff wrote in an email to county officials, quote, this looks like it might be another Branch Davidian compound. The night of the hearing, Laura George saw circles of people in the parking lot, heads bent, holding Bibles. Oh, man, I don't know. Why? We'll be back.
Get your news unfiltered, only with Mike Malone.
25 before the hour. Anyway, to wrap this up on the Oracle Institute and what this woman, Laura George, wants to do, and how the Christians in the area that she wants to do it in southwestern Virginia, are just absolutely freaking out. To kind of wrap it up, Eddie Rowland, the pastor of Brush Creek Baptist Church, who was at the meeting when the county board decided to deny Laura George a permit to begin the construction. Anyway, Pastor Eddie stood up at the meeting with his Bible in his hand and said the proposed center, quote, stands against the Word of God. I believe it's contradictory to it. I believe it's diametrically opposed to what this book right here stands for, end quote. At one point, one of the supervisors reminded people who were speaking that they, the supervisors, couldn't vote based on religious reasons. Oh, yeah, why can't you? Why not? Why, God, you know where you are, boy? I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, so Laura George decided to file suit against these people based on discrimination points, which she certainly has, I think. She has a case. And if she wins the suit, she says, according to the Washington Post, she'd start building right away and open as soon as possible for classes and events. And then she laughed a little and she said, you know, if anybody comes. Well, at some point, maybe in August, since we're kind of running out of July here fairly quickly, I'm hoping to have Laura George on the program just for the heck of it. You know, I don't do guests on this program, except every once in a while. But it intrigues me, and I'm not sure exactly why. I'm not sure why this story kind of piques my curiosity. I'm not sure why. But Anyway, we'll do it later on if we can find a date. What do we got here? Let's go back to phone calls for a while. Jim is in Las Vegas listening on Sirius. Hello, Jim.
Yeah. Mike, what's up?
You are.
All right. Well, I've got a kind of a little historical question about, like, you know, FDR. You know, he had to have some sort of epiphany, you know, to deal with a financial crisis, you know, the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's possible that Obama will or even can have one? I mean, I'm basically of the same school as you, and but yet part of me still kind of holds out hope that somehow he can, or do you think there's too much power against him, you know?
You know, I used to think and used to hope that Obama would do exactly what you're talking about here, that there would be some event, some tipping point event that would make Obama realize that what he was up against, and then he'd have to make a decision. Was he willing to fight, and I mean really fight politically, or was he going to just try to, you know, be Bill Clinton Jr., just kind of play all the sides against each other and come out looking like a winner, even though Bill Clinton set the wheels in motion for the crisis that we're having right now, with a couple of things that he did, signing off on the NAFTA agreement and also signing off on the law that ended Glass-Steagall that prevented these investment banks from going crazy, which they did then over the next decade. So I have a feeling, first of all, I don't think Barack Obama, nor Bill Clinton, nor any of these folks who are Democratic presidents have the center necessary to do what FDR did. Times are different. Population of the country back in the 30s, about half of what it is now, if that. There was a crisis in this country that was coming to a head to the point almost of a second revolution or a second civil war. There were rumors of attempts to assassinate FDR, and I mean the rumors were coming from the ruling class, from the capitalists. They wanted to kill him. When you hear rumors of assassination of Barack Obama, it usually comes from right-wing maniacs who don't understand that Barack Obama is doing exactly what the power structure wants him to do. So the times are different, first of all. But secondly, I just, you know, as much of an orator that as Barack Obama can be, with the way he delivers ideas, there's no follow-up. I don't think there's any there. He's no FDR. He's no JFK. He's who he is. And he's just not, I don't think he's the kind of leader that a lot of us hoped he would be. First of all, I think he's too young. He doesn't have the experience. I realize JFK was about his age when he was president. But, I just don't think there is the life experience necessary for Obama to fight politically, he may have a desire in his heart to get certain things done a certain way, but he's just not willing to fight for those ideas. And consequently, anyone who voted for him with the hope that he was a fighter is now so horrifically, feels so horrifically betrayed. I think that's the reason a lot of people are moving away from him. So, to answer your question, I'm sorry for the long-winded answer, but no, I don't think he has it in him, and I don't think he ever will rise to the level of an FDR. No.
No, nothing wrong with your long-winded answer. It was excellent. But, I voted for him, and I'll vote for him again probably.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of hoping, you know, he would just realize what he's up against. But he's got, you know, two little daughters and a wife, and he's got to, you know, take care of them, you know. And, that's another little, you know, and you saw what happened to JFK when you go against the military-industrial complex and the powers that be.
Well, yeah. Picture. Yeah, there is that. And Jim, thanks. I appreciate what you had to say. There is that. There is the reality of, the very institution that Eisenhower tried to warn everybody about. So that begs the question then, why run? And I know I'm using that expression improperly, so don't email me and say that's not what begs the question means, Malloy. I feel it coming. But all right, it rattles around inside my head and asks the question then, why run for the office of the presidency if you have an understanding that you are not going to be able to do what you want to do if you are progressive or a liberal? Of course, I don't think Obama is necessarily either. But he talked the talk, and a lot of people bought into that conversation. So, as far as Obama being the kind of leader that I think we desperately need right now, no. Mika is in Miami. Hello, Mika.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay. How are you?
All right. If you, this woman sounds like she's trying to get the fairness doctrine up there, or the religious fairness doctrine. They don't want any part of it.
Yeah, and you're talking about Laura George.
Yeah,
this country is not emotionally or psychically or psychologically equipped to have any kind of a challenge to their rigid religions. They're
try
just not.
Try explaining to them that their Jesus Christ is just a reincarnation of Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
I wanted to congratulate Sanchez and his wonderful parade that he was discussing there, and I wanted to sort of tag that onto something that you were talking about last night, and that is, you know, resisting capitalism by doing nothing. I would like to suggest that maybe doing something else to undermine capitalism, and that is doing things that does literally undermine it, like volunteerism, like we do in Operation Smile. And in Smile Train, your listeners and you can go to operationsmile.org or smiletrain.org. We need volunteers of all kinds.
Right.
And what we do is that we do free surgeries. We run on donations. We're very efficient, financially effective, and efficient organizations. The doctors and ancillaries are all volunteers and put up a great deal of their own money to undertake these missions.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this to undermine the corporatized dentistry that has swept this country and over much of the world. We do operations in Central America, South America, Africa.
Yeah, like I mentioned last time you called in, I've seen the ads and they're of your organization, and they're very, very effective.
Yes. Operating in the United States too, Michael.
Right.
I've seen some of the most abject poverty, most despondent.
Hey, hold on just a second, Mika. I've got to do a break here. We'll come back and pick up the conversation here in just a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour, we're talking with Mika of Operation Smile in Miami. Yeah, where were we?
Well, I was just talking about we don't just do international missions, but we've been doing surgical operations. We refer to them as missions
right.
To attract the you-know-whos, and it does work. And we're all over the United States, and if anyone is interested in volunteering and substituting a little volunteerism for capitalism and to undermine capitalism in this way, ways, you know, it's an amazing thing, Mike. You can change people's lives by functioning this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings great joy to the recipient of surgeries or your volunteerism, and it brings great joy and happiness to those who serve and volunteer. We work very hard. We work dog hard.
Mm-hmm.
But the feeling that you come away from doing this is that there is hope, Mike, and that there are people out there who are willing to work and are doing the right thing. Now, some of these, a significant proportion of these ancillaries and the doctors are Christian, but in my opinion, these are not these front-running phony Christians.
Right.
These are the people who are really undertaking the real work. And even though I'm not particularly religious or I'm not a Christian.
Well, I think, Mika, that's kind of the point. It always has been my point. Well, not always,
yeah.
but since I have decided that religion was nothing but a con game, is that the people who do so-called good works can have a certain belief or no belief. They can believe that an act of goodness is its own, provides its own blessing. It is its own, the inherent goodness in doing an act of goodness makes it good, you know.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with any kind of religious dogma or some plan laid out by some religious avatar. It just has to do with the specialness, if we want to use that word, of human nature, saying, I want to help somebody. I want to do something. I want to do something good. I want to I want to share my ability or my talent, whatever it has. If it's art or surgery, I want to share it because I know it will bring some kind of relief or happiness to people. So,
yes,
and that's a, and that's always been the point to me, not always, but for a substantial part of my life, that people do things not because of religious instruction and possibly in spite of religious instruction. So.
I agree.
All right, what's Mika? I'm running out of time here. What's that website?
OperationSmile.org and SmileTrain.org, and we don't need just professionals. We need people there just to roll wheelchairs and to hold hands and to
come
for
you.
People of any religious denomination or none. And thank you both, Mike and Kathy. Love you both.
Thanks, Mika. Appreciate you checking in. OperationSmile.org. You've seen the ads in magazines, I'm sure. It is... check it out, OperationSmile.org. The kids that are born with cleft palates and facial disfiguration that are given surgical treatments to correct that simply for the benefit of the child. So check them out if you would. You know, earlier tonight we were talking about the state of California had Governor Jerry Brown signed into law a bill that requires the teaching of... The teaching of the history of homosexuals and how the right wing is freaking out. But how about this one? Somebody just sent to me. Alan Turing. You ever heard of him? He was an English mathematician, logician, cryptanalysis, and computer scientist. He was highly influential in the development of computer science. He provided a formalization of the concept of algorithm and computation with the Turing machine, which played a significant role in the creation of the modern computer. He is widely considered to be the father of computer science and artificial intelligence. During the Second World War, he worked for the government code and cryptic cipher school at Bletchley Park, Britain's code-breaking center. For a time, he was the head of something called Hut 8, the section responsible for German naval cryptanalysis. He devised a number of techniques for breaking German ciphers, including the method of the bombs, an electromechanical machine that could find settings for the Enigma machine. After the war, he worked in the National Physical Laboratory, where he created one of the first designs for a stored program computer, the ACE. Toward the end of his life, he became interested in mathematical biology. He wrote a paper on the chemical basis of morphogenesis, or genesis, and he predicted oscillating chemical reactions such as the reaction, which were first observed in the night. The reason I'm sharing this is at Wikipedia. This guy was an absolute genius, and because of his work, we have computers. Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, that's not a good thing. Oh, get real. It is a good thing. Anyway, here's the part. Turing's homosexuality resulted in a criminal prosecution in 1952 when homosexual acts were still illegal in the UK. He accepted treatment with female hormones, in other words, chemical castration, as an alternative to prison. He died in 1954, several weeks before his 42nd birthday, from cyanide poisoning An inquest determined it was suicide. His mother and some others believed his death was accidental. On September 10th, 2009, following an internet campaign, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown made an official public apology on behalf of the British government for the way in which Turing was treated after the war. So that could be the first historical figure, perhaps. And thanks, Ken, for the introduction. I obviously have never heard of him before. Perhaps the first chapter in whatever textbook they can come up with about the historical contribution in math, science, you know, pick a field, art, design, theater, traffic engineering, city planning. I mean, pick one. Medicine, military science, you know, I mean, start with this guy. Start with this guy. Oh, Lord have mercy. But, you know, the homophobes will say, no, no, they're not going to do that. Says so in the Bible. I'll see you Monday. All right, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
What happened?